into a rough charm that suited the wild rose's ambiance.
For sure. Once she got some color back in her cheeks.
Sam paused, a born storyteller, confident that he'd hooked his audience.
Go on.
The night manager leaned forward, his pale gray eyes bright, even after a night awake.
It's past 11 when she staggers into the lobby. Mid to late 20s, slim build, some Latina blood. Jeans and a top that's too light for the nights this time of year.
June in Caribou Crossing featured warm, sunny days, but the temperature cooled when the sun went down.
Staggers?
Pale and staggering, that didn't sound good.
Those white cheeks of hers, they weren't just from the cold. It's more like she's done in, on her last legs. She stumbles across to the desk, backpack weighing her down. I get up to go take her pack, but before I reach her, what does she up and do?
His shaggy gray eyebrows lifted.
What does she up and do? Faints dead away.
Dave frowned, worried.
Did you call 911?
The storyteller was probably incapable of giving a simple yes or no answer.
I bend down, make sure she has a pulse. And by then, she's stirring. So I whip into the bar and fetch a shot of rye. The Caribou Crossing single barrel. Figure if our hometown drink doesn't fix her up, I'll call for help.
Dave didn't know whether to groan or grin.
Did she drink it? I wave it under the gal's nose, and she snorts and jumps back like a horse when it sees a snake. She sits up, grabs the glass, downs it in one swallow, and says, "Damn, that's good."
Surprised and relieved, Dave laughed, and Sam joined in.
"I did offer to call a doc," Sam assured him. "But she says no, she's just exhausted and hungry. Been hitchhiking all day up from Vancouver. Hasn't had much to eat. Says she came in to ask if there's a hostel in town. That whiskey put some color back in her cheeks, and she's trying to be all bright and cheery. But under all that, she looks like a nag that's been rode hard and put up wet. I tell her she'll stay here. She starts to argue. I tell her I won't take no guff. Give her a key. Carry her pack up to 22. Then I heat up some beef stew and biscuits from the kitchen and take it up."
He shrugged.
"After that, I don't hear another peep out of her."
"Hmm." Dave glanced at the ceiling, still concerned.
"I'd feel better if a doctor had taken a look at her."
A few of the doctors had an arrangement through an answering service. One was always on call, and they made house calls.
"She said she wasn't going to waste a doctor's time. The gal was pretty damn firm about it."
He gave his balding head a shake.
"Put me in mind of old Mrs. Haldenby, you know?"
The retired schoolteacher was a fine and intimidating woman who definitely knew her own mind.
"There's no arguing with someone like that,"
Dave agreed.
"It sounds like you did all you could."
"Good work, Sam.
See if you still say that when I tell you I didn't get a credit card, or even a name. Figured it could wait until she was feeling better."
"Yeah, even if she skips, it's no big loss." Dave was more worried about the woman's health, but Sam was a smart, observant guy. If he'd thought their visitor really was sick, he'd have overridden her objections, as he had when he'd given her a room.
"Anyhow," Sam said, "damn woman took my mind right out of my book. Got me thinking about her story. And I bet it's a good one."
Dave rolled his eyes. "You and your overactive imagination. She's a hitchhiker who didn't have the sense to rest when she needed to. She'll be up and on the road, hopefully paying her bill before she goes." Around 11, Dave was at the front desk, relieving Deepta, the receptionist who worked weekdays from 6:30 to 2:30. He was trying to book opera tickets in Vancouver for guests who were heading there tomorrow, but the online system kept glitching. Frustrated, he took a deep breath, unsnapped the cuffs of his western